Opening hymns, number 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. Following that hymn, we'll pray Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Page 229 and following. No worship insert for the evening. We have one reading. We'll continue our Passion Narrative, part 3 tonight. And we have Jesus in front of the high priest. Jesus in front of the high priest. Our office hymn is a hymn that we've been highlighting throughout our Lenten season. Number 438, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. At the end of our service, instead of the regular prayers that are with Vespers, we will, as we have been the last several weeks, we'll conclude with the litany. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's take note and greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a little spread out tonight. If you don't know who you're sitting next to or worshiping with, take a moment and find out. Remember, in Jesus, we are one. Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord. Heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special season, this special opportunity to be in your house, to reflect upon our sin, our inability to save ourselves, and our great need for a Savior. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight that we see where to turn in our time of need, and teach us by the power of the Holy Spirit to know you perfectly. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. 611.
Thank you. worship is Vespers, page 229, we stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Continue with our office hymn 438. You may be seated.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the four Gospels. Part 3, the palace of the high priest. Those who had arrested Jesus brought him to the high priest's house, where the scribes and elders were assembled. Peter followed him afar off, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So that other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. He went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He was warming himself at the fire they had kindled in the middle of the courtyard.
Meanwhile, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking evidence that might make the case for a death sentence, but they could not find any. Many bore false witness against him, but their statements did not agree. Two stepped forward and said, "We heard him say, 'I shall destroy this temple made with hands, and after 3 days I shall build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their evidence did not agree.
Then the high priest stood up, moved to the center, and put this question to Jesus. "Do you have no answer? What is this evidence they have given against you?" But he was silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest put a question to him and said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God's power and coming with the clouds of heaven." The high priest tore his garments and said, "Do we still need any witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your opinion?" They all agreed that he was deserving of death.
Then some of them began to spit on him. They blindfolded him, struck him, and said to him, "Prophesy to us, O Christ, who is it that struck you?" The guards beat him as they took him away.
Meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maidservants of the high priest came and saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him closely as he sat in the light of the fire, and she said, "You also were along with the man from Nazareth, that Jesus."
Peter denied it and said, "I do not know what you mean." He went out to the forecourt. Another maidservant saw him there and said to those who were standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denied it again with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, those standing around said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them. You are a Galilean. Your accent gives you away." Peter started calling down curses on himself and swore, "I do not know the man."
And immediately, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed a second time, and the Lord turned and looked on Peter. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter broke down and went out and wept bitterly.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes held the court session with all the Sanhedrin. Then they bound him, led him away, and turned him over to Pilate. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, was sorry and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned. I have betrayed innocent blood."
They said, "What is that to us? That is your affair." Judas threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. He went and hanged himself.
The chief priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." They took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. That is why to this day that field has been called the field of blood.
In this way was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by the children of Israel, and gave them for the potter's field. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord my God. Deliver me, O Lord my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening, the Passion reading that we heard just a few moments ago, and also these words from Luke chapter 22. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. Three times deny that you know me. Dear friends in Christ, the last several weeks, we've been talking about knowing God perfectly. It's a phrase from Luther's Large Catechism. It is not only knowing who God is, one God in three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but, most importantly, knowing what to expect from God. Knowing what to receive from God. We sang at the beginning of our service, Chief of sinners though I be. We say it all the time. I, a poor, miserable sinner. So, what should poor, miserable sinners like you and me expect to receive from God? Well, we expect to receive salvation, otherwise known as the forgiveness of sins. And tonight, through our readings, more specifically, redemption, reconciliation, restoration. God's gifts and God's blessings for us. So, if you think about it, who is most in need of the forgiveness of sins? Who is most in need of this redemption, reconciliation, and restoration that God promises in His gospel? We can sit around and think about some of the great sinners that we know. We heard in our text, Peter certainly is in need of knowing God perfectly. But we know the person that is most in need is the person we see in the mirror each day. Ourselves. Peter Peter was known for opening his mouth when he should have kept it shut, shutting his mouth when he should have opened it. Last week in our Passion reading, that's why I read those words from Luke 22, Peter, brag, boastful. Peter said, Lord, even if all the other disciples fall away, I will never fall away. In fact, I am ready to die for you, even go to prison. And if I need to, I will give up my life for you and for your word. Now, who in their right mind would be willing to make such a bold, braggadocious statement? Not just Peter. You. You have made that exact same statement. I have. If you are confirmed in the Lutheran Church, you made that promise. You made that statement. You said in the rite of confirmation, not once but twice, that you would rather die than fall away from Christ. You would rather die than fall away from His Word. You would rather die than fall away from the church where His gifts are freely given. So, what do we do after we make those bold promises to God? My friends, Peter's story is not just Peter's story. Peter's story is our story. What did God give Peter to do after Peter made that bold proclamation? God gave Peter not one, not two, but three opportunities to confess his faith. Three opportunities to say, I really believe this stuff. We heard him. We heard him tonight in our readings. Remember, Jesus is arrested. Jesus is taken to trial. Peter and John are waiting outside, warming themselves by the fire, trying to get a little news and a little gossip for how the trial is going. All of a sudden, someone notices Peter. Hey, I think I know you. Aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter, like a good Christian, like a good Lutheran, he said, well, of course I am. Come with me to church on Sunday. Better yet, Wednesday night Lenten services. Pastor's going to be starting up a new confirmation class on Sunday morning. I'll come with you. We'll study the catechism together. We'll learn and grow in our understanding of Jesus and His Word. That was the opportunity Peter had. And what or how did Peter confess? Don't know the man. Never heard of him. You must be mistaken. Peter cuts himself off voluntarily from Jesus. He divorces himself from Jesus. Wants nothing to do with Jesus. If that sin, that denying of Jesus, wasn't enough, he has another opportunity. Only this time, when someone recognizes him, not only does he deny Jesus, not only does he say he doesn't know him, he swears an oath. Now, God's Word teaches us there are good oaths and there are sinful oaths. You know the kind of sinful oath I'm talking about. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I'm telling the truth. Bad. Sin. That's the kind of oath that Peter swore. Compounding his sin every time he opened his mouth. Peter denies Jesus. Peter swears an oath that he doesn't know Jesus. It couldn't get any worse, could it? Oh, it does. Peter's third opportunity to confess Jesus, to confess the truth. Not only does he deny Jesus, not only does he pretend that he doesn't know who Jesus is, this time he talks like a sailor. This time he brings down curses upon himself. Peter sins grievously. So, while all this is going on, what's Jesus doing? Well, Jesus is at court. Remember that kangaroo court that's called in the middle of the night, replete with false witnesses? Right off the bat, they realize they have no charge against the man. He's innocent, and they know it. But that doesn't stop them. False witness after false witness, yet they can't agree on their story. Finally, the chief priest talks to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He says nothing. He says nothing. He will not even dignify their false accusations with a word. Jesus fulfills Scripture. Jesus fulfills God's word from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Peter opens his mouth when he should keep it shut. Peter shuts his mouth when he should have it open. But Jesus is just the opposite. Jesus knows exactly when to keep quiet. And he knows exactly when and what to speak. When the high priest finally says, "Okay, tell me plainly, are you the Christ or not?" Jesus says, "I am. I am. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of the Blessed One." The high priest tears his robes. They need no more witnesses. The sham trial is over. You would think that that would be enough, but it's not enough. Now, the soldiers and all those around, they begin to beat and mock and spit upon Jesus. They blindfold him, slap him around, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is it that hit you?" Foolishly, they think, if this guy really is the Christ, we could never do any of these things to him. If he really is the Christ, there is no way that he would allow us to touch him, hit him, spit on him, or tease him. They have no clue that the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and Lord of lords, is a servant who suffers. God's word is clear. Again, from Isaiah 53. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the guilt, the shame, the iniquity of us all. As all this is happening to Jesus, something truly amazing happens. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? The rooster crows! The rooster crows! Once again, Jesus' words are true. Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Peter is busted. Hand in the cookie jar. Busted. Caught in the act. Busted. Red-handed. Busted. We don't know what that look was like. Maybe it was a mournful look. Maybe it was an appealing look. We don't know. But we know that Peter, caught, breaks down, weeps uncontrollably. He's gone. It's at this precise moment that Satan has his crosshairs on Peter's soul. What will happen? Does Peter, caught in his sin, know God perfectly? Does Peter know what to expect from Jesus? We have that sad reminder of one who sat at the feet of Jesus for 3 years, who heard his teaching, who witnessed his miracles, who ate and drank with Jesus. Judas. Judas. Who heard the Word of God. Who was truly sorry for his sin. He took the money back. He asked to be forgiven. And yet he did not know what to expect from God. He did not know God perfectly. His sin was too big. His sin was too great. He didn't believe that Jesus could or would forgive him. So in his despair, in his hopelessness, in his shame, he did the only thing that he could do in his own mind. He took his life. My friends, Peter's story is our story. We, like Peter, make big statements, bold promises. And like Peter, when we should keep quiet, we don't know when to shut up. And every time we open our mouths, we dig ourselves a little bit deeper, trying to justify our own sin, and we make matters worse. Like Peter, when we could, when we should, speak, invite, witness, confess the truth, we're tongue-tied and lock-lipped. My friends, like Peter, Satan has his crosshairs on you. He wants you to think that your sin is too big. He wants you to think that your God is too small. He wants you to think that Jesus either can't or won't forgive you in your sin. Did you remember those words from Luke 22? You know those words where Peter made that bold, foolish proclamation? Simon, Simon, Jesus says, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. The words of Jesus, the prayers of Jesus are stronger than any lie or ploy of Satan. And Jesus prays for you too. Remember what he said as he hung bleeding and dying on Calvary's cross? Remember what he said? Father, forgive them. Forgive us. For we know not what we do. And then Jesus goes on to say, and when you have turned again, when you have repented, when you have believed my redemption, been reconciled to me by the forgiveness of sins, and been restored by the life, death, and resurrection of the God-man Jesus, your Savior, when you have turned again, strengthen your brethren. Friends, Jesus has done it all. He's lived, He's died, He's risen from the dead. He has poured out His love, forgiveness, life, and salvation to each of us in the waters of holy baptism. He has spoken His words of forgiveness into our ear. He has fed us with His crucified and risen body and blood. And yet Satan will not rest. Satan will not sleep. He wants you, he wants your soul, he wants company in hell. The difference between Judas and Peter, Judas did not know God perfectly. He did not know what to expect from God. Peter did. And you do as well. What do we expect, poor, miserable sinners that we are? What do we expect from God? We expect forgiveness, life, and salvation. We expect the forgiveness of sins. We expect redemption, reconciliation, restoration. My friends, tonight, if there was ever a sinner who needed God's love, if there was ever a sinner who needed God's forgiveness, if there was ever a sinner who needed God's grace, Peter? Yeah. It's you and me. Because Peter's story is our story. My friends, that's exactly what Jesus gives. That's exactly what you can expect. His death on the cross is the once and for all sin offering for you and for the life of the world. You are forgiven. You are covered in Jesus' blood. You are in His hands, His nail-scarred hands. You are in His wounds. You are in His death, and you are in His resurrection. You know God perfectly. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding. Keep our hearts, our minds, our mouths in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, God gives us the words and opens our mouth to sing His praise. We continue with the Canticle, the Magnificat, page 231. Please stand as you're able.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship with us. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping with us on the radio or on the internet. We pray that God's message of reconciliation, restoration, and redemption would be yours today and always. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
We stand for prayer. The prayers of this evening are found on page 288. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spirit,
be gracious to us.
Help us,
from all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us,
we poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord,
to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons, especially Beth, Don, Wally, Brian, and Jocelyn, and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us,
Lord. To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen. Our Father, who art
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O God, merciful Father, you have promised to hear the prayers of all who in repentance call out to you. Graciously hear us, so that the evils which beset us may be of no avail, that we, your servants, may evermore give thanks to you in your holy church. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated for our closing hymn, 880.
Welcome in the name of Jesus. Just a couple of quick announcements before we dismiss. If you didn't get a chance to get the Good Shepherd news and notes this last weekend, they're in the back shelf there, along with our Lenten devotionals, give you a full schedule of worship services through Easter. Next Wednesday, there's no midweek or confirmation class because it is Lincoln Public Schools spring break. We'll have our regular schedule other than that. worship at 12:15 and at 6:30. We are in a little bit of a bind. 2 weeks from tonight, the Boy Scouts will be cooking, and next week, nobody is cooking. So unless somebody steps it up in the next couple of days, next Wednesday night for our fellowship meal, you can either drive through Burger King or bring a sack lunch. So we pray that somebody will step forward and that we can keep this good and God-pleasing tradition going. So tonight now we have Bible study, penitential psalms. What are we studying tonight, Vicar? Psalm 32. Very good psalm. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Psalm 32. Choir upstairs, Lifelight Bible study tomorrow at 1, Book of Job. Check out the tables. The school preschool benefit auction is coming up. A couple of sign-up places, one for Easter breakfast, one for Easter lilies. And everything else you'll be able to figure out. Pastor, anything else? Vicar? Have a great day and week in the wounds of Jesus.